John and Cheryl are serious glampers. They want nature, they want the great outdoors. They love being away from it all. They love getting away from all the stress and the busyness of life, but they're glampers. They do take at least 4 trips a year, and they make sure that their glamping destinations have all the amenities. John says he won't ever stay where there's no actual bathroom. I get that. If you go to tripadvisor.com, you're going to find some really fabulous possibilities for camping without the fuss. This is the new thing. They say less time pitching a tent means more time relaxing, barbecuing, swimming, singing kumbaya, and gazing at the stars. All possible activities in these glamping rentals. No assembly required. You could rent some wonderful places like a yurt by the lake, a remodeled shepherd's hut, or even a treehouse furnished with running water and electricity. There's a lady by the name of Dee Montana, and she writes for a blog called RV Share. And her most recent article is entitled, "Are You a Camper or a Glamper?" And she says, these three differences will help you decide. First, how much nature is too much? Camping enthusiasts prefer to trek out into the wild where they can pitch a simple tent and sleep out under the stars. They like roughing it. Glampers think a little nature goes a long way. They may seek a great outdoors experience, but a true glamper wants to sleep on a comfy mattress. The second thing is fresh air or technology. Campers grab their GPS and go, or even simply their compass. They like to bike, they like to fish, they like to hunt, they like to hike, they like to get dirty. Glampers spend their time reading and writing and painting and photographing and listening to e-books and watching movies. The next thing is outhouse or bubble bath. Campers love a challenge. A toilet could be behind a tree. It could be a makeshift bucket, or it could be a pit deep in the forest. Glampers prefer a good flush. There's really a distinct difference between camping and glamping. And if someone is seeking a wilderness experience, a true oneness with nature, glamping might leave them lacking. Those who long for the wilderness might find themselves a little disappointed. And there's many reasons that people crave the wilderness experience. There are things that they really need. They need to recharge their batteries. They need to reconnect and rediscover what's really important. They need to eliminate all the busyness and become centered so that they can face all the stuff that life throws at them. They need to see God. So, reading this blog led me to think about discipleship versus consumerism. They're both things that we find in our churches. So this is Kristen's blog called, "Are You a Disciple or a Consumer? These three differences will help you decide." So the first question is, Holy Spirit or spirituality? The consumer says, I find my own way of connecting with God. I don't need church to tell me what to do or how to do it. These folks, they don't want to discipline themselves in spiritual practices. They don't want to grow deeper with Christ. They're very happy with the way things are right now. A disciple knows that Jesus created the church to be a fellowship of believers that come together, to worship together, to encourage each other, and to deepen themselves in holiness. They come together and they renew and recharge themselves, and then they go out into the world and spread the good news. You see, disciples practice regular spiritual disciplines as they continue to grow deeper in their discipleship. And people find them amazingly radiant and want to be part of that. The second question is, give or take? See, the consumer may come to church hoping to hear some good music and be entertained. They count on the pastor to care for them when they need it, and they enjoy the social groups that the church provides. When something changes in worship that they don't like, they complain because, after all, church is for them. A disciple offers themselves in devotion to God during worship, knowing that worship is for God. They act selflessly and they offer God the first and the best of their time, their financial resources, and their gratitude. And everything pours from them. And the more they give, and the more they give, the more they receive. And these people are just bubbling over. The third question is, stay or go? Well, you might be thinking to yourself, of course, stay, right? Well, the consumer is happy to have church stay just the way it is. They enjoy their happy little comfort zone. They don't want growth. They don't want things to change. They want kids and they want young families, but they don't want to move out of their comfy seats to invite them. And heaven forbid they should come and want to sit in their seat. The disciple knows what the Great Commission is. That Jesus says, go and make disciples. Move out of your comfort zone. And they live it. And it may not be comfortable, but they're excited about it because it's for Christ. Garrison Keillor has a great quote. He says, anyone who thinks sitting in church can make you a Christian must also think that sitting in a garage can make you a car. So the question is, why do we put ourselves through being a disciple? What is it we need? Why do we go into the wilderness seeking a wilderness experience? Why not just glamp? Why not just come to church and hang out and get what we need and be Christians that way? Why would we want to become a disciple and then deepen ourselves in discipleship? And there's really a good answer for this. Because we're hungry for God. We need God. God is the source of all life. And without God, we become parched and restless, and we try to fill that need with other things. And if we want to have abundant life, we have to connect to that which is life-giving. And there's only one thing. If a person needs nothing, it's because they're dead. I'm alive, therefore, I get hungry and I get thirsty and I need to rest because I'm alive. I'm a living organism. There's a parallel to this in Christian life. If your spiritual life is alive, you'll be challenged to grow and you'll feel a need to be fed. A cadaver doesn't need food or drink or rest, nor does a spiritually dead person. They don't need to be nurtured spiritually. There are some beautiful scriptures that speak to this, that God is the source of all the things that we need. Psalm 145:16 says, "Open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145:19 says, "He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them." Fear here is interpreted, our language is very shallow. We don't have all the words for interpretation, but fear loosely means respect. Those who respect him and adore him, he will hear their cry and save them. Jeremiah 31:14 says, "I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance." We are the priests. We are the priesthood of believers. "And my people will be satisfied with my goodness," declares the Lord. Psalm 34:9 says, "Fear him, O fear the Lord, you saints." Again, respect, adore. "For all those who fear him, there is no want." Proverbs 10:3 says, "The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will reject the craving of the wicked." There is a woman in the Bible whom Jesus met at a well. Do you remember her? She came out to the well during a time when there weren't other people coming to the well because she was living on the margin of society. There were things going on in her life. Well, first of all, she was a woman, which marginalized her in that time anyway. But also, she was trying to fill her life with something she wasn't finding. And she was looked at and judged by the people in her village. So she would come to the well and fill her jugs and get her water at a time when she wouldn't run into other people. But Jesus was there. Jesus had come through Samaria that day and he was sitting by the well. And he asked her for a drink. And she said, "Me give you a drink?" Well, that seems odd. Because for a man to speak to a woman, well, that was strange. And she was a Samaritan. So even for an outsider to speak to a despised Samaritan was something also. But Jesus spoke to her. In fact, it's the longest conversation that he's had with any one person in all of Scripture. And he says, "You're giving me a drink, but I can give you the living water. I can fill you with a water in which you will never be thirsty again." And he was speaking spiritually, saying, "Follow me, believe, and your needs will all be fulfilled." In our scripture today, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, it says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus." Now, the folks in Corinth were not getting it right. You know, if you think there's dysfunction in church today, whoa, we wish we could go back to the early church, right, when things were perfect. No. The church has always been dysfunctional. Why? Because there's people in it. But we're meant to come together with all of our gifts and graces and all of our imperfections and encourage each other and love each other and spread God's message to the world. So the church in Corinth was not necessarily doing things well. But he encourages them. He says, to those who are sanctified in Christ, in other words, remember who you are. You're sanctified in Christ. You're called to be saints together with those in every place. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. We are all one, and you are a holy people. And he sends the message of Jesus Christ to them. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that God has been given you in Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying that you all have gifts and graces. You are all blessed. Do you realize this? All of you shine with the light of the Holy Spirit because God is in you. He says, for in every way you have been enriched by him in speech and in knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you. So you are the church, which means the testimony of God is strengthened within you as a body of believers. Don't contain it. And he reminds them that they are not lacking any spiritual gift as we wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he encourages them further. He says, he will strengthen you to the end. He'll never give up on you, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. God is faithful, and by him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why we're together. That's why we grow in discipleship. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, those who do not feel a need to grow in discipleship, the consumers, all of this is foolishness to them. It's sad. To us, we are strengthened and encouraged by it. To those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And then he questions, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Where is the one who's going to stand up and testify? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Look around you at the world. So many foolish things. And we are called on to testify to that as disciples. Yeah, we could be consumers if we chose. We can choose that. We have free will. We can choose to be consumers and just hang out and be entertained and feel good about ourselves. Or we can be disciples and we can come together and strengthen each other and call upon the Holy Spirit to deepen our lives. Choosing to be a disciple is a choice to fill that hunger for authenticity that we so crave. And here's how to start. And you'll find this actually on your bulletin. look at the next steps. The first step is to take a bold step in identifying the reasons that you need God today. What are you hungry for? What's that burning ache in your life? There's only one place to satisfy that. Those reasons why you need God, lift them up in prayer. And if you want, there's a space under announcements in your bulletin. During the next few minutes, you can write those down and take them home and pray over them and ask God to come into your life in that way. Take action to move closer to God. Lift those things up in prayer. And secondly, identify the needs of our community and our world. There are needs all around us. Do you know that over 80% of our community has absolutely no desire or need to gather in Christian worship or discipleship? They don't see a need for it. But yet we know that they hunger. They have desires that they can't fulfill. Identify the needs of our community and our world and lift them in prayer. And then learn more about one of those needs and how to address it. These are the next steps this week. As we think about, are we consumers or disciples? If we want that wilderness experience, if we want to camp, we're going to get dirty and we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to get scratches and bug bites. But if we want to glamp, we can hang out where it's comfortable. If we want to be a consumer, we can hang out where it's comfortable. If we want to be a disciple, we're going to get scratches and bug bites and we're going to get dirty. Let's get dirty together. Amen.